Welcome to the Joyful Journey podcast, where we embark on a quest for clarity and cultivate lives filled with love, joy, and purpose. I'm Anita Adams, your host and fellow traveler on this path of self-discovery. If you've ever found yourself longing for clarity or searching for ways to make a positive impact in our world, then you've come to the right place. Together, we'll tap into the power of inner wisdom, access our highest selves, and unleash boundless joy. By doing so, we not only elevate our own lives, but also contribute to heightening the collective consciousness. Join me as we dive deep into conversations, insights, and practices that light the way on our joyful journey. Hey, Joyful Journeyer, Anita Adams here, your host. And today I'm excited to introduce you to Joseph Broussard, a dynamic and multi-talented individual. With a background in education, counseling, and therapeutic art, Joseph brings a unique perspective to the conversation of personal growth with an emphasis on art as a form of healing. He has spent his career helping people discover their creative potential and find fulfillment through art. Joseph defines art as a way to express compassion and connect with one's true nature. Through his private coaching business, Mindfully Applied, he has been guiding people towards personal growth and self-discovery for over a decade. Welcome, Joseph. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It always feels good to be read to, but then to have my accolades read to me feels so wonderful. Thank you.
It is good, isn't it? It's like, wow, yeah, look at me go.
It feels great. I feel so confident all of a sudden.
I love that. Well, you've done some, you do some really great, important work in the world. So, you know, you gotta shout it out and let people know what you're doing. So, and
yeah, I think let's breathe, take a moment and breathe that in, shall we? Just inhale that, right?
Yeah.
And expand around that. And this is, I'm kind of already demonstrating, sorry to interrupt, but just, you're presenting me with the perfect opportunity, right? Like to intentionally inhale the energy of this joy that you're expressing right now. So appreciated and heartfelt. And the authenticity of what you're saying is really hitting home.
Awesome. Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. And, you know, it's a good reminder that we need to stop and take those moments, right? Especially when people are sharing something about yourself and praising you, take it in. A lot of us were like, oh, no, you know, like we don't want to accept the compliments and the praise. Like it makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Yeah. And we need to stop and breathe it in and sit in or bask in that moment of self-recognition and allowing others to acknowledge and recognize us.
Agreed.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Let's jump into what we're here to talk about, art as a form of healing, therapeutic art. So what is it about art that is healing?
Well, it's kind of like saying, what is it about life that's healing?
Okay. Well, elaborate. You know?
Right? Now, someone once called me the eternal optimist. So please forgive the, what do they call it? Little Miss Mary Sunshine part of me. But, you know, it took me a while. When I was first told this by, it was actually a supervisor at a job I was working. You know, you're such an optimist. And I just about fell over because I did not feel like what I was saying was optimistic at all. Mm. But of course, she was speaking relative to where her mindset was.
Interesting.
And I was speaking to where my mindset was, which is all of life. I couldn't have even verbalized this at the time, but all of life is preparing us for exactly what we really are ready for and need to be prepared for.
Right.
And a lot of that could be described in this one beautiful word, healing, that you're using today, which I very much appreciate. Hmm. So my work, which was very early on, very traditional, and set in a salaried position. It was in the public school. So there was this emphasis on practicality. And, you know, for me to go around blowing the sunshine where the sun don't shine, you know, was only going to be so useful. It wasn't practical. You know, Pollyanna is another term that you hear, right? Like someone who's just forcing. It's one thing to talk about joy and to breathe it in and to emphasize it. It's another thing to kind of force it on people. So at the beginning was this emphasis on sort of the mechanics of, well, if I believe all of life is healing and that I can share this or be an emphasizer of it, how do I do that? And it started in the classroom. And it became artful because literally creative writing became the only thing I cared about. I was a literature teacher, and it became a creative writing class that my heart and soul just was poured into. No homework in that class. Homework didn't work. What did work was art, which was of the moment expression. And what it does is it emphasizes life. It emphasizes life at its most naturally experienced form, in its most naturally experienced state, you might say. So in my bio, that's why I spoke of true nature. That's what I meant of true nature. Because as humans, I believe a good way to say it is we're kind of walking around not knowing what we're made of, but we get to sense it with all these senses. We get to touch it. We get to see it. We get to smell it, taste it, and we get to breathe and have this full sensory experience of the whole ball of wax, so to speak. In fact, it could just be described as we're walking around sense organs, walking, talking, breathing, sensing things. And so art became this just natural way to talk about this, because you can hear me kind of struggling to find words, right? Like it's kind of hard to put people in touch with themselves, as silly as that sounds, with
no,
what
it
they
doesn't
quote
sound
unquote
silly
really
at all.
are.
Yeah, no, I get that. But and what I'm really hearing is that this is art is a form of really getting present, using art as a form to really get present in the moment. Yeah, on the nose. Yeah, because
on the
like
nose.
Using all your senses to be of the moment expression. I love that, of the moment expression. And I'm like, I feel like for just my own past experience and what I've gone through when I'm feeling stressed and anxious, I go into nature to help feel grounded and present. And I use all of my senses to help calm me, which is healing. It is a healing exercise. So what you're talking about is that same thing, but in a form of expressing what you're experiencing the moment. I'm you're nodding your head, so I feel like I've got it. I'm understanding.
You got it. And
awesome.
And we can, since we're in these bodies that appear limited, we can talk about expression versus absorption. And so often what I hear in my therapeutic business, right, that I started after my public education career, was this this pining to go into nature. Just, in fact, I met a lot of environmental therapists, a lot of wild, you know, in the wild therapists in the latter part of that career. And just using nature to be what you might say more absorptive than anything. And we have this sense of internal versus external. And it's just another way. Here's another key word, to play. To play.
Yes.
It's like art is a ball and we get to play with, we understand what to do with the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't understand what to do with ourselves, but we know what to do with the ball, right? Like I grew up playing soccer and I loved it because I had no idea. I was really just such an awkward adolescent. And I mean, beyond
Aren't we all?
awkward. And I know. I think everyone has these stories, right? But I was so grateful in hindsight for soccer because at least when I showed up to soccer practice or a game, I knew what to do. I would go out on the field and get my position. And if a ball came to me, I know what to do. And it was something tangible that I could interact with. And that's art.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I love that you are talking about play as well. This is something that I have been sitting with a lot lately. I feel like I keep getting this message to play, and to talk to people about play. So the fact that you're here on my show today and you bring up play, I feel just is reinforcing that importance that we all need to have more play in our life. And art is such a great way. A great way to play. So awesome.
It really is. It
Yeah.
really is such a great way to play.
Let me ask you, can you do any form of art to experience the healing benefits, or is there a specific medium that is best, a specific way to play with your art?
I'm so glad you brought this up because it really addresses sort of the nervy part of this, right? Like, I can't take creative writing courses because I'm not creative. That's what we're sort of all walking around thinking.
Right.
And if you believe you're not creative, a creative writing course might be the perfect thing for you, is sort of the reality of it. Can you repeat the question?
So, yeah, I'm trying to get a sense of whether art, if there's one form of art that is better to help with the healing, or if you can literally do like paint rocks or I don't know, dance or play a musical instrument or whatever your, whatever you define art as being. I'm assuming that it doesn't matter, but I'm curious if there is one form of art that is better than another for specifically for the healing process.
Yeah, and I would say unequivocally, they're all equal, and you're literally making it up. In fact, art is a way to actually tangibly see yourself as the creator, is another way to say it.
I like
The
that.
creator that you are.
Yeah. Okay, and you just
And
touched.
so you're a unique creator, right? You're not the one and only creator. You're a unique creator, as am I. Is my creating better than yours? Or is my favorite way to create better than yours? We could take the nature aspect. One reason people are going into nature is because we hear differently, we absorb differently, we taste, sense differently, and therefore we express differently. And it feels better somehow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. So if there you commented earlier about not feeling some, I think clients perhaps you're referencing who have said that they're not creative. How do you address that? I mean, how do you address somebody that says that they're not creative, so therefore they shut the door. This is not for me because I'm not creative.
Yeah, it's really an interesting answer to me because it's the answer to most therapeutic questions. The answer is listen. If you listen long enough, you'll hear them talk about their creativity.
Listen to the client, listen to the individual, or are you telling the individual, the client, or who's listening to this, to listen to themselves?
It's never about what I'm telling them, and it's always about what I'm hearing them say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I listen, see, what's happening most of the time is that someone is talking, I am talking right now, without really listening to myself very carefully. You're listening to me more carefully than I am. Because once I express it, it's such a relief that it's out of there, out of here. It's out there, and I can just let it go. That's one pre reason people are willing to pay for therapeutic services, especially ones that are talk-based.
Right.
And it's most people's comfort zone. So I did something really wild and crazy. I put a sand tray in my therapy office about 6 years ago. A sand tray. It's a miniature sandbox. And literally people would take one look at it and go, "What is that?" And they would immediately get scared. And they would be like, "I am not creative." You know, like insistent. And so, funny enough, one of the people who came in and had this reaction to it, turned out was a painter. She was a painter, and she didn't know she was a painter.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so we did sessions, and for whatever reason, you know, it kind of, because I had purchased not only the training to use the sand tray appropriately, but also the sand tray itself to use therapeutically, it stuck out to me, you know, that she had said, "I am not creative." And then one day she just comes in. It wasn't hard to detect at all. She's like, "My friend came over. We were making these patio stones from, you know, making them ourselves with this DIY project, and they were stepping stones for out in the yard." And she was telling me how she paints, because we decided to paint them at the last minute. And I asked her to show me some of her stuff, and it looked like just like some of my stuff. And I was like, "Oh, you have stuff?" You know? And all of a sudden she just began painting watercolors. And, you know, it was like, when I can't sleep, this is what I can do.
That's really neat. You know, I host retreats, and I got into the practice of putting out paints and rocks, and not having an established component to the retreat where we're painting, but just leaving them on a, you know, in a corner where, you know, during the breaks or whatever, if anybody wants to, you know, go and paint a rock or paint a picture or whatever, there's art supplies. And there was not everybody would do it, but there was always at least half of the group would find their way to sitting down at a table and painting rocks. And when I would get feedback about the retreats, often this would be one of the favorite things that they loved, just having access to some materials to just, and the freedom and the time just to sit and doodle or paint a rock, you know. And it was, it's really a neat experience. So that actually leads me to my next question. How would you recommend for somebody who does not identify as particularly being creative, how do you recommend getting them started on using art as a form of therapy?
You know, what you've done is create a tangible invitation in the example that you've already given. Right. You've put the art supplies out there. Yes. That's a very tangible invitation. I strive to make nothing I do as a coach forceful in the least bit. Everything non-forceful. Well, how do I do that? A lot of silence, a lot of listening. Almost everything that comes out of my mouth is either an invitation or a request or an inquiry. Inquiry can get pressured really fast. It can get pressured really fast. And there are always people who want me to be the inquirer so that the pressure is taken off of them to speak, which is sometimes really the worst thing I could do. Because this creative expression, not only does it come out of us all the time, when we listen to ourselves, it starts to come out of us more intentionally. So the first part A answer to your question is I shut up and breathe. And I invite them to breathe. I do very similar to what you've done. If we're in physical space together, I lay out things to play with.
Yes.
A lot of fidgets, you know, fidgets got really popular before the pandemic. Thank God, they might have saved all of our lives. But you could buy those really fancy fidgets for a while.
I need to stop you. I don't know what you mean by fidgets. What is that?
Okay, they're things. They're often marketed as classroom toys for
Okay.
kids who can't pay attention very easily. So it'll be like a squeegee ball,
Ah, okay.
a foam squeegee thing, or what got really popular were these spinners, and they were really well engineered. So you'd spin them, you'd hold them in the center and spin them, and they'd just spin and spin and spin for a long time.
Okay.
And they wouldn't make any noise, so they could be used in a classroom. Eventually it got to these poppers, which you might see in arts and crafts stores a lot now, where you just pop them in and out.
Okay.
But things like this are meant to be soothing. The point being that there's something about the intentionality, right? It's like we are bringing something from the subconscious into the conscious, with something as simple as a fidget, a pen that's a different color from that pen, different colors of pieces of paper, a little flower that I stepped on and want to apologize to even make the intentional apology come out of my mouth, which some people might call a prayer, for example, is to bring it from the subconscious into the conscious. And we're interacting now. We're relating to the world, which is actually us, a part of us. And we're doing it through what we call intentional directing or focusing, even to use my words intentionally, right? Lots of writing forms. And these days we also have performance art, and we have spontaneous performance art. The flash mobs, also very popular right before the pandemic. I think that might be what made YouTube my favorite thing. But spontaneous, you know, it's a planned dance routine, but then they don't know what's going to happen when they show up and do that dance routine in that public place. So it's intentionally inviting the unknown rather than going, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen next. I hate, you know, everyone's therapeutic turmoil is the unknown.
Yeah.
So we have this
100%.
Fundamental duality of choice between unknown and known. Art is a way to make the unknown into the known.
Okay, I really like
in
that.
my favorite way.
Yeah, nice. Art is the way to make the unknown known. It's creating, making the unfamiliar familiar, and that's where we can find more comfort, right? When things become familiar. Okay, I really like that. So one of the things that I'm hearing that you can do is have things at the ready. Like if you're not going to art therapy, you're not sitting necessarily with someone, but you wanting to practice or use art for your own healing, you can have supplies, art supplies, or a journal, or different things that will help you connect to or get present. Like even those little spinner things you're talking about, that is about presence, getting focused in the right here, right now. And that can be used as a tool to help settle you down. And then finding some art form. And it doesn't, if what I'm hearing from you, it doesn't sound like it really matters what kind of art form you choose to express with, that you're simply find something that bring, and in so doing, you're bringing something from your subconscious to your conscious. You're allowing it to unfold. Is there a recommended amount of time that this happens? Like, can you, do you need to sit down for an hour or longer to create something that allows you to connect with the subconscious or bring the subconscious forward? Or is it more of a over time doing this daily? Like for instance, my daily walks over time, I got the benefit of doing those daily walks in nature.
Yes. So my practice being called Mindfully Applied, I have for a very long time billed myself as a mindfulness and meditation coach. And this, you know, what kept coming out of people was art. It was just undeniable. And people would refuse to meditate. but they love doing art. So I have, I have a client now who works in a grocery store by day and is a guitar player.
Nice.
You
Yeah.
know, creating music, literally.
Yeah.
And just like I would have never known. Nobody knows this about this person. This person, the amazing thing is, didn't know it about theirself. You know?
Yeah.
And just totally, there's no intake form, right, that could have drawn that out.
Yeah.
So the amount of time varies. I will say this. There's a reason when you ask me what I can do to help people creative that I said, first, I shut up. And second, I breathe probably is more accurate. And third, I ask them to breathe. So I get present, in other words, with them. I invite them into presence, which is just to say, noticing what's actually going on within. And then I ask them, well, what do you notice? You know, now that you've done this, what do you actually notice? And there's a technique. I've just heard it metaphor, therapeutic metaphor. But you ask, where does this live in your body? How do you feel it? Sort of living somewhere or stronger in a certain part of your body? Does it have a color? If it had a name, what would you name it? What name would you give it? And so this is art in and of itself. This is performance art. You know, could you do an interpretive dance of what you just described? Do you want to? Because I have another client right now who's really into the I forgot what it's called, the dance scene where you just show up and they loop a lot of music and you just do expressive dance the whole time you're there. Everybody just kind of does their own thing.
That's what I want
They
to
have
do.
ground rules like no touch. Yeah, no touching. You're just there to really express with your body. This is art. And so I found it way easier to talk to people about, their art than their trauma or their drama.
Yeah. Interesting. So when a client comes to you, you're basically where you're starting with them is helping them to identify the modality that is going to speak to them to help them connect with them. And I would use the term connect with their higher self, because that's my language, connecting to that
Yes.
part of themselves. I love that. Okay, very, very interesting. And then the work progresses from there in the client going deeper into understanding who they are. Am I
Sure.
correct? Is it they're under they through art they're better understanding who they are, but first they need to find the space where they want to play, whether it's painting, writing, dancing, juggling, whatever it might be.
Yes. Yeah, you're picking up on my inner juggler. How did you know that I do that?
Awesome.
I had a secret desire as a child to be a clown, and it's funny now because I hate being in front of crowds. But I don't mention the word art, right? So I think part of what you're getting at when you're asking me these questions is, like, how do we get around this concept that we have of art and the fact that our own conceptualization of it is what's intimidating us?
Yes.
Well, we stop talking, and we really specifically stop talking about art, about it, because then it becomes the big it in the room, like my sand tray on my coffee table in my office, right? The first thing people see when they come in, and they're just intimidated, they're just like shutting down in response to this mild, subtle implication that they might be asked to be creative. And so listen first. Universal rule. And I'm listening with an ear at this point. This is where I've evolved to, I guess you could say, is I'm listening with an ear of art and play. You could say it kind of all started in formalized training with a laughter therapy training I went to. And I just thought this was so great. And I found myself embarrassed to execute it, to actually go and lead a laughter therapy group. And so I was like, there has, let me play with this for a while. Let me feel it out in these one-on-one sessions and see how this actually works. How do we invite people to get to know themselves? Well, mainly we become their mirror, and because they're comfortable getting to know me, which they're not really doing, because my job is to be reflecting. And I do that with not only my posture, but with my words, with my demeanor, with my tone. If I see the artist in them, then I am to verbalize it. And that's the reality of the answer to this question that you're posing, I think, in a few different ways, right? Like, other than that, leave the objects out that represent art. Put art on the walls. Blank paper and a pen is really great for most people, because session time is limited. And I would love to just have them in there doing art. But what I also found was, if I said, okay, this is going to be an art therapy session, I don't like crayons. Get these markers away from me. This sand tray is intimidating. And the more I piled it up around the office, the more it was sort of rejected. So it had to be approached as something that came from them. I listened for it again and again and again because I kept hearing it. I wasn't smart enough to be an art therapist when I went to school. It had to be uncovered in this way so many times. And at this point, I'm doing it out here, sharing it with other people in this way, because I do it in here. And it's so healing.
Beautiful.
And we get to pick our favorite. It's like so fun, because I get to pick. That's really part of the point is, if I love coloring with crayons, then I should just go get some crayons and start coloring. So the action plan, what happened was, the action plan of my session started changing into things like, okay, whatever you do before the next time I see you, go get some butcher paper and crayons, even just buying it and putting it in their home
Now that's such a
is how it all unravels.
really interesting. I know that there's some those adult coloring books took off a number of years ago, and I think that that might be a response to this need for us to be creative. We are all by nature, we are all creative beings, right? So just finding the avenue that works for you. Do you have any advice on how people could get started in exploring their creative expression and finding the right modality for them?
Stop. Yes. So we as practitioners need to stop telling people and insisting that they are creative. Right? So we need to stop doing that, and we need to start listening for the creativity as they express it, and then get curious about it ourselves.
So being that
And
mirror,
that's what
but
we need to. And so what we're doing is often called habit stacking, right? But it's habit stacking around specifically creativity, art, play. For a lot of people, it's just getting playful, laughing, telling jokes. I've had business people in coaching sessions who really came for a much more personal reason. But their art became Toastmasters. Like giving speeches, it's a way, orating, is a really artful thing, because when you go to Toastmasters, they'll tell you it's better if you just get up there and start telling your story.
100%. I like that. I think that's really solid advice about starting with just getting playful, finding the play, and through play we find expression, right? So
Yeah, and
that's
even with couples, having a ball and just asking them to toss the ball back and forth to each other, to make communication into a game,
Neat.
because what is happening is what we're creating most of the time inside of us is angst and anxiety and pressure, because we're in duality existence. So it's usually experienced most poignantly as this pressure. And when we play or create intentionally, we will release that pressure. And the way we release it is by expression. And so if I want to use Play-Doh to do that, because that just feels good in my hands.
Does
It's cold when I pick it up, and it gets warmer when I squish it. And, that, lo and behold, that impacts how I talk to other people. That impacts how I write my emails. It affects everything. It is, could also be, to your point, a form of mindfulness.
yeah. That's great. I love everything you're saying. Joseph, it's been such a delight getting to know you a little more through the podcast and learning about the work that you're doing. I love that you're helping people connect with basically it feels like their inner child, so that they play more, they find more joy, they have that expression, they bring the unconscious or the subconscious to the conscious. I love all of that. So thank you for sharing your gifts, your wisdom, your insights, and and joyful journeyer, thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it, or write a review, give us the thumbs up, whatever. Help us reach more people, because the more people that rate it and write reviews, the more we can reach a larger audience and share the wisdom that is shared here on this show. So thank you so much for tuning in, Joyful Journeyer, and we will catch you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us on the Joyful Journey podcast. We hope today's episode has sparked something special within you. If you resonated with any part of today's show and you're eager to explore further, visit joyfulinspiredliving.com. There, you'll discover additional resources designed to help you unlock the power of inner wisdom and create a life aligned with your highest self. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter and receive a complimentary download of our 3 guiding principles to inner wisdom. These principles serve as a roadmap to clarity, confidence, well-being, and joy. If you have any questions or simply want to connect, reach out. I always enjoy engaging with fellow joyful journeyers like you. Until next time, wishing you joy, love, and inspiration.